And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
A Busch beer can empty. Slap that baby on the back rack like that. It'll sound like a motor. And you'll have all the women everywhere wanting a piece of you, baby.
Good morning, Swim World, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Monday, July 5th. Happy 5th, everyone. I'm J.E. Skeets, rolling with the homie, Tass Mellis.
What's up, everybody?
What's up, Tass? Got my Top Shot Hot Boy up there, Trey Kirby.
Ayo!
Hey, yo! The international man of mystery, taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Friends.
And finally, the man making the magic happen, JD.
Hello.
There he is. Here we are. Shout out to the stream team here this morning joining us live on YouTube. Take a quick second, everybody. Smash that like button on the video. And if you haven't, subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. Keep sending in your questions and your comments for the next Beach Steppin' podcast. Email them in, nodunks@theathletic.com. Best way to get them in. And finally, go grab your No Dunks merch over at nodunks.com. We got the No Dunks NBA Finals collection up. Yes, Milwaukee Bucks fans can get their No Dunks version of their logo there. Got the horns. And then, of course, we showed you this last week. The Suns, the Photoshop boys, meet the Valley boys. So go grab those over at nodunks.com. How's everybody doing this morning? Everybody have a good weekend? Lee, you're still in New York riding subways and looking at Lego and stuff like that?
Yeah. The boys really combined risky business with movie Big at FAO Schwartz on Saturday afternoon as well.
Interesting.
They were sliding up and down in their socks on the piano like Tom Cruise, and then doing the, you know, that little piano tune on from Big there, so that was a lot of fun. and then I took in the baseball yesterday, Yankees Mets, big Subway Series rivals there.
Sure.
Out at Yankee Stadium, standing room only, the only way to watch sport these days.
Baseball on the 4th of July.
There was three things that were chanted yesterday. One was "F you Mets," one was "F you Yankees," and the other one was "USA, USA." Just non-stop. I was like, "Can we mix it up a little bit up here, please? Come on!"
Did Judge sock a dinger for you?
No, unfortunately, Judge, he couldn't sock a dinger. I think he. All rise. Yeah, I think he got on base. I think that was all he got. He just lobbed one into sort of empty field there, whatever you call that, and got on to first. But I was down there.
Blooper. That's what they say.
A blooper. Yeah.
Big baseball guy over here.
I was I had the camera ready. I was like, man, if Judgey socks a dinger, this is going to be great. Because the other thing is, I'd love to do, you know, I've probably been, I don't know, 50 baseball games in my life, probably more. Never caught a foul ball, never caught a ball in the outfield. Love to have caught one, you know, deep in the bleachers at Yankee Stadium. That would have been fantastic. But Tassie, I was thinking of you yesterday, man. This game was going okay. It was moving along okay. Fourth inning. Oh, my God. Move the ball along, please. The Yankees, Gerrit Cole, I think his name is, the pitcher, gave up three runs, right?
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
Three runs in the inning.
Go to the pen. Yeah.
Well, so what happened was, you know, the coach comes out and the sort of the infield players come around.
Let's
the mound
talk about it. Hey, stop giving up runs. Yeah.
Exactly. I thought.
Let's go. You have too many hits, Garrett.
You know, usually the manager puts his hand out and he has to put the ball in and he's off, but he didn't do that. He must have sort of said, all right, just, you know, keep calm, compose yourself. So he goes back to the mound. You know, everyone goes back to their positions. The ref or the umpire does that little, like, come on, guys, break it up. So he goes back to the mound, right? And the innings has already been going for like half an hour at this point. And where I was standing, I could sort of, there was a TV screen as well, so I could see everything. So then the catcher looks at the manager and he comes back and he does the little, you know, little finger thing like this. And Gerrit Cole's like, he does it again. I'm like, throw the fucking ball, man. We've been here for like 45 minutes. Just throw it. You're going to get pulled off here anyway. What are you doing? Like,
standing room only tickets to a baseball game hits a little differently, maybe, than standing room only tickets to another sport.
Hey, it's not bad though, because if you want to be behind the mount or behind the plate there, you can do that. Or if you want to be out in the cheap seats, it's also great. So it's good. I think it's a great way to watch a game.
So how long this game go, you think?
Oh.
It's not the fastest of the four major sports, I think.
Oh, my God, no. Look, so the game started at 2 o'clock. It was a doubleheader yesterday because it got rained out on Friday. So it started at 2 o'clock. I had, like, a party to get to in Brooklyn at, like, 5:30 or 6 o'clock. I'm like, 2 o'clock, I should be done by 4:30. Maybe I slip out after the 8th.
That's
like 4:30. We're in the 5th. Yeah. And I'm like, guys, come on. Move it along. We've got another game to play here today. So, anyway, the Yankees blew the save. The guy, I can't remember his name. Fans don't like him. He blew the save. They lose that. But then they won the second one last night. I will say, impressive stadium, Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
A little difficult to get any vegetarian options. I'll say that much. There's not a lot for the. a lot of vegetarian
options.
There.
That's it.
I should have taken. I can't believe I didn't take a photo of the popcorn. You should see the bucket of popcorn that they give out there. It's just gigantic. So I ended up having to eat French fries there because that was the only thing I could eat.
You're crazy, man.
I know,
you're insane.
Oh, man. I'm just like, it's wings, it's burgers, it's dogs, you know, and I'm just like,
it's the 4th of July, too.
I know.
Hey, you go to a baseball game on the 4th of July, a man's got to have a dog.
It was a real... You know what I will say, though? I think baseball... brings fans together, because even though there was chanting, there was no fighting in the crowd. Everyone was having a great time. I was talking to people. I was asking people to take photos for me. Yeah, you got it, man. I'm like, hey, thanks,
man. Oh, my God. This is supposed to be an NBA Finals preview and predictions podcast, but let's do another 20 on Lee in New York. I like it.
Yeah. Let's have one more question. You said that baseball brings people together. You wanted popcorn, but it was too big. Do you ever think about being in that lineup and saying to somebody, hey, you want to split that bucket? I mean, you don't need that much popcorn.
Yeah, I mean, I was talking to this couple, actually, and I thought, maybe this is the angle here, because there's three of us, and I said, maybe we can split this, because they were talking about buying a T-shirt, and this guy was like, do you think my wife will think I look, do you think my wife will think I look thinner in this? We're having a great old time. Oh, man, it was...
So did you go solo?
Yeah, I just went solo, yeah, because standing room tickets were $40. The cheapest seat, $440. So I wanted standing room anyway. I was prepared to pay for a seat, but I was like, $440? Come on.
So who took that that stage photo of you with your...
That's what I'm saying. That's my man. That's my friend. Hi, buddy, he said when he left.
Hey, buddy.
Have you heard one single I'm Walking Here yet since New York?
Actually,
damn it. Well, then you got to do it.
Yeah, good fun at the ball game. Yeah, July the 4th, Yankees Mets. You know, tick that one off the bucket list for sure.
Okay.
Just, I know they've made some improvements in the game's speed in the last few years. I think there's a few more they could work on, but, you know.
All right. Well, let's start moving along this podcast here, too. It's like 10 minutes in. We haven't even started talking about the NBA Finals because we got our matchup. So let's break it down. Let's make our predictions, all that good stuff. Let's hear from the stream team, too. You know, who do you like, Bucks or Suns? How many games? But this Finals matchup, I mean, we've got two of the longest suffering franchises in the league when it comes to titles, at least. Suns have never won one. They've been around a long time, and the Bucks' only championship back in 1971, so a real long time ago. But keys to the series, Tass, let's jump right into it. What do you got your eye on, or what's the big storyline for this NBA Finals matchup that tips on Tuesday night? They moved it up. A little shocking. I was very happy to see that. It was going to be originally scheduled for Thursday, but it's up to Tuesday now. But what are you watching?
Well, it starts with Giannis Antetokounmpo from the Bucks' side. You know, we can get into all the keys, but if the Bucks don't have Giannis, then they're not winning their first title in 40 years. I think that is clear. So when is he coming back? And when should he come back? Because Yahoo Sports' Chris Haynes reported on Friday that there was a belief, air quotes, belief, Giannis would have cleared to play in Game 7 had the Hawks won game six. So now they get extra days rest. And there's some people out there thinking, you know, they did move the finals up. Maybe you save him for games three and four at home where you're more likely to win. Give him some extra rest that he was expecting. But I think that's a little bonkers. I think you get him back as soon as possible. And game seven would have been the day we're recording here today, a day before the finals. So I think you get him in game one, get him comfy. Because it takes a game or two to get the guys comfy again with Giannis. I know that he's their centerpiece, but just look what happened with Trae Young there in game six. It takes a little bit. And so play around him. I think that period where you're getting a little bit more acclimated again back to Giannis being your centerpiece, it's more important to do that in games one and games two and then be good for games three and games four. I don't think you wait. Just get him back. And the fact is, we saw what the Bucks did there in games five and game six without him. Mm-hmm. The injury has brought those dudes together. They absolutely stepped up. It's a little bit of, you know, a Cinderella story. It's a good story. Those guys stepped up, mainly Jrue Holiday, but also Brook Lopez and Bobby Portis. So if you bring him back now when he's not 100%, maybe Jrue Holiday still feels that flow. He still feels that same way where Giannis isn't sucking up all the possessions if he isn't 100%. And so maybe Holiday can learn to step up, be that aggressive dude that we saw in game five and game six. Because if Holiday, Brook, and Bobby I'll play that way, you know, along with Chris Middleton, with Giannis in the lineup, then the title is absolutely theirs. So we can get it. Let's get into the actual, you know, break it down matchups type thing. But it starts with Giannis, and I think get him in there. Get him in there tomorrow, game one. I think you got to if he's, you know, somewhat healthy. Don't just wait. Make sure he's extremely healthy. I think that would be a mistake because then, you know, you can give up those games in the middle of the series.
Well, let's get into a particular matchup. Lee, what do you got your eye on?
Well, I think the Milwaukee Bucks have to win the big man matchup between Brook Lopez and DeAndre Ayton. I think you've got sort of young legs in DeAndre Ayton versus the older, bigger, stronger Brook Lopez. And look, Brook Lopez has been very good at times throughout these playoffs for Milwaukee. He's been a good player for most of the time he's been there. He has the ability to spread the floor. We know he can shoot that three-pointer. And he can also go inside and kind of be a bit of a bully there. So this is going to be a bit of an old-fashioned sort of matchup. Two big, legit centers out there playing against each other. But DeAndre Ayton has been so good for the Phoenix Suns these entire playoffs. So Brook's going to have his hands full at the other end. But I just wonder if Budenholzer just tries to maybe get DeAndre Ayton into foul trouble at some point, get him off the floor if he can, because the backup centers for Phoenix are so much less intimidating in Dario Saric and potentially Frank Kaminsky. And I just think that...
What, you again, don't think that push that Frank Kaminsky gave to Patrick Beverley was intimidating? Nice little shoulder rub?
I just feel that, you know, again, without Giannis for, you know, however long he's out, the Bucks don't have many advantages, but this is one that's potentially in their favor just because, you know, when Brook Lopez makes his presence felt, he can be a very effective player. So he's got to stop DeAndre Ayton. I think if DeAndre Ayton gets into that pick and roll game, that's bad for the Milwaukee Bucks. I think if you're Lopez, you can sort of hang back a little bit and maybe give up at least that mid-range floater game.
You'd be giving up a lot of jumpers from Chris Paul and Devin Booker in pick and roll situations.
No, but I mean, in terms of Ayton, I'm saying, like, if you don't want to get Ayton sort of rolling to the rim too much, you have to give up one of those things. I mean, if you're going to give up anything to him. Now, obviously, in Ayton and Paul and Booker, yes, you need to go up there and contest. But if that leaves Ayton alone at the rim, then that's also bad for Milwaukee. So they don't have a lot of advantages, but I just sort of think that Brook, as we saw at times against the Hawks, you know, he's a handful down low. And Capella and Gallinari and John Collins struggled to really sort of contain him. So I think that's where Milwaukee has potentially a chance to win that matchup. But if Ayton destroys Brook Lopez in this series, then I think it's going to be over very quickly for Milwaukee, because I think they've got so many other options. But I think that that's where Lopez has to really stand tall and be great. So he can be. And again, if he's spreading the floor, if he's hitting those threes, pulling Ayton away from the basket, that is good for Milwaukee, for the Bucks. So that's what he needs to do. He needs to be on his game from the start.
Battle of the bigs there. Lee's got his eye on it. That's usually Trey Kirby's lane. But Lee's locked in on it. But what do you got, Trey? What are you watching?
Well, I hope you got your tickets for the Chris Middleton Ferris wheel, because if the Bucks are going to win the title, I think he's got to be their best player. Yeah. Like Tessa's saying with Giannis, that is really the question here. If he plays,
if he's 100%, which seems unlikely to me, I mean, that changes everything because there's no matchup for Giannis on the Suns. Like, Jay Crowder did a pretty solid job last year with the Heat, but he's still 4 inches shorter or whatever it is. So that's a big question. But assuming Giannis isn't going to be Giannis the way he has been, Middleton needs to be awesome, Chris Middleton. It needs to be top of the Ferris wheel Middleton. We saw it a couple of times versus the Hawks. He had 20 points in the fourth quarter of Game 3, had 16 in a row, finished scoring 23 in the third quarter of Game 6. Really ended the game, ended the series right there. But Chris Middleton also had the loading phase, 6 of 23 in Game 1, 6 of 17 in Game 3. Ferris wheels are only fun when you got the good view, and looking at these matchups, the Bucks have to get the best from Middleton because Jrue Holiday is going to have his hands full, I think. He's either going to be tasked with slowing down Chris Paul a little bit, or if it's Devin Booker who's on fire, Jrue Holiday's probably guarding Devin Booker there. So you need Middleton to be aggressively looking to get buckets and basically matching what Booker's going to be giving the Suns, because they just, with Dante DiVincenzo out, it feels like Booker should run wild a little bit in this series. So you need Middleton to cancel him out. I think he's going to be matched up most likely with Mikal Bridges, maybe Jay Crowder, and Middleton can win both of those matchups, I would think. The other question is going to be who guards Devin Booker, because if you're asking Middleton to be the number one guy on offense and then go out there and slow down Devin Booker, that's a huge ask, but there's a reason Chris Middleton is sometimes an all-star, right, Skeets? He looks amazing sometimes, and he can do it on both ends when he's playing his absolute best. He was nails in games 4, 5, and 6, really, I thought, for the Bucks in that Hawks series. So if he's able to ride that momentum into the finals, that's big time for Milwaukee.
Yeah, I got to say, I was looking. I got one of those emails, right? I'm on some weird email thread here. I always get these NBA Finals odds and ends and stuff like that, and they got the Finals MVP odds. Chris Paul, the odds-on favorite for Finals MVP. Of course, you would have the Suns probably winning in that scenario. Booker second, then Giannis, and then Middleton. You know, at like decent odds, because I think you're right, guys, like, or Trey, like, if the Bucks win this and Giannis isn't 100%, who knows if he even plays, like, first off. I mean, Chris Middleton, for them to win, has to be 30 points per game, Chris Middleton, I think. So it's like, wouldn't be that far-fetched to see him, like, win rightfully a Finals MVP. So those odds seem like a little like juicy, a little interesting. Not that I'm betting on Chris Middleton, because that's one issue, like, you know, the Ferris wheel does go down eventually, but he was awesome over the last little stretch, and so was Jrue Holiday in Game 6. I was down at the Fortress on Saturday night against the Hawks. There were like 3 or 4 plays where we were all looking at each other like, what the hell did Jrue Holiday just do there, like spinning on guys and up and unders, and like, he was amazing, I thought, in Game 6. So
he closed the door when he hit that lefty in the lane. Like, God. The Hawks were coming back. The Fortress was rocking. And Jrue Holiday just went through 5 guys and finished at the rim with a lefty. And it was like, okay, Bucks win. Bucks win.
Yeah. He suddenly like turned into Kyrie for a couple possessions. Yes. You're like, what the hell's going on here? But that's, to me, like, you said it. You guys have like sort of touched on it already. Like, can Holiday, like, can he slow down Chris Paul, who we know has been amazing when he's played? He, like, rarely turns the ball over. 122 assists, only 22 turnovers here in the playoffs for Chris Paul. So can Holiday make him uncomfortable and then also bring it on the other end? And again, that might be Holiday on Chris. It might be him on Booker if he's got it going because Middleton can't slow him down or whatever that matchup is. So, holy crap. Jrue Holiday has to be special, I think, if there's no Giannis or depleted Giannis for them to pull this off. But he's like, when those two guys, Middleton and Jrue, play well on the same night, the Bucks are a tough out task. And a lot of the times it's only one or the other. But we saw in that last series, there were a couple nights there, especially when Giannis went down, where both those guys were amazing. They looked like, you know, all-star, all-NBA guys in Jrue and Chris.
Yeah, Chris Middleton won 2 games for the Milwaukee Bucks last series. Trey brought up those 2 quarters where he scored 20-plus. He won Game 3, and he won Game 6. He really did. And, yeah, Jrue Holiday jumped on his back and was the third best star, or the third star that the Bucks have always wanted. They just had to. You know, without Giannis in the lineup, that's how they were going to win. And, yeah, they stepped up. I mean, it just feels like the clubhouse, the locker room is feeling good. But Middleton didn't really have a great defensive matchup for him on the Atlanta Hawks. You know, they had Kevin Huerter on him. And then Cam Reddish came off the bench and was really solid. Nate McMillan calling Cam Reddish a guy with Paul George potential. It's hard to argue that, but that was the spare minutes there. And, you know, Cam Reddish just coming back from injury. I think he would have been the best matchup for Chris Middleton, but Chris Middleton was licking his chops against the Atlanta Hawks. This is going to be different going against Mikal Bridges. Bridges is huge. and a lot longer than anybody that the Hawks really had on him for good stretches. So what is Chris Middleton going to be able to do against this team? That's the thing. I mean, you see the matchups really change in this one. We saw Chris Paul score 40 plus in that last game. If Drew Holiday is sticking him, it's not going to be an easy series for Chris Paul. And same goes for Chris Middleton on the other side. Mm-hmm. And then I thought Devin Booker would just feel so good to be free of the shackles of Patrick Beverley going into the finals here. But I think it's going to be annoying as well going into this series. I know you guys talk about Pat Connaughton and Dante DiVincenzo being out, but I think they try and stick the slower PJ Tucker on him as much as possible. Try and just get under his skin like Patrick Beverley did, because he started off the series really well in the Western Conference Finals. And then, you know, he got his shots up, he got his numbers up, but he didn't shoot a good percentage. He wasn't his self. And I think he's going to feel good going into game one. I think the Bucks would be smart to try and piss him off like they did with Patrick Beverley, like the Clippers did with Patrick Beverley, in the Western Conference Final. Just anger him. Get Tucker on him. That's his job, I think. I think Tucker doesn't have a good matchup otherwise. He's out there for defense. You throw him on Jay Crowder or Mikal Bridges, it's kind of a waste. Mm. Book should be a lot faster than PJ Tucker, of course. But I think that's you got to get dirty. I think that's the really interesting thing here. Paul versus Holiday. Yeah, Tucker versus Booker. Middleton versus Bridges. I mean, it's just jizzy.
Are you excited for these finals? Because obviously you're seeing even some people in the stream team like saying, like, they're shitting on these finals. Like, they're like, oh, who cares? Bucks versus Suns. You sound hyped, Tass. I don't care really ultimately about ratings, but I'm fascinated to see how many people tune into this, because these are not, you know, huge, big market cities here, NBA teams. What do you think?
I like basketball. I'm tuning in. I hear you. There's going to be people who are turned off. No doubt. It may not be juicy enough. Giannis would definitely help out. He's got to come back. But yeah, I get it. I mean, it's Milwaukee Phoenix, two franchises that haven't won historically. The superstar storylines are sort of shared with Devin Booker and Chris Paul in Phoenix, and then without Giannis, it's not great in terms of the big market attraction. But man, they've been playing so well. So yeah, I've. Again, there hasn't been a crap ton of blowouts in these playoffs. It's been really, really entertaining to watch. Two teams staying close to each other, and I expect this to happen, you know, for the next couple of weeks here for sure.
Wild stat from the Sporting News, Jordan Greer, I saw. Bobby Portis and Jay Crowder have each scored 11 points or more in 7 playoff games this year, each, right? And when they do, the combined record for their teams is 13-1. They basically just like, if those guys contribute 11 or more points here in the playoffs, they generally win. There was one game that they didn't. I think Portis had 11 in a loss to the Hawks there. But those guys, I mean, they're X factors, no doubt. Lee, is there anyone else that you would include in the mix? Are we going to see, like, you know, can campaign change a quarter again or a game or someone on the Bucks? What do you think?
Yeah, Cam Johnson as well. He's been good for the Suns. Cam and Chris. That's the two. Cam are on the same team.
What about
Chris
Cam
and Chris
Stewart?
Well, you know, he's interested in this series. But what you were asking, Tass, I mean, you've got the number 2 Phoenix Suns versus the number 3 Milwaukee Bucks. So it's not as though either of these teams weren't legit contenders when the playoffs started here. I mean, the Milwaukee Bucks, they were probably the favorite, maybe Brooklyn, I suppose, coming into the season. Now, obviously, Giannis is not there, but they were embarrassed, remember, after game 2 against the Brooklyn Nets. So they've had to overcome some adversity to get to where they are now. They've deserved to be in the finals. They had to, you know, they were trailing against the Nets. They were trailing against the Hawks. They lose Giannis and they still fight through and win. So for me, I don't care at all that it's not, you know, Nets and Lakers as we possibly thought before the playoffs started. I think both of these teams are deserving. The Phoenix Suns themselves, I mean, they were down 2-1 against the Lakers. I think I called a douchey on deck in that series, and they fought back and overcame the Lakers. I mean, I think before the playoffs, it was like, oh, this is a terrible matchup for the Suns. They're going to get smoked by the Lakers, and they didn't. They won that series. You know, they had to overcome the Denver Nuggets. Of course, they were missing some players there, but they still had to beat them. For a team that, outside of Chris Paul and Jay Crowder, is not experienced, they've earned their spot in the finals. So I'm as excited as I would be for any other playoff series, any other finals, because I'm not that one who's like, we we've got to have a big market, big player. This is going to be incredible to see Chris Paul finally into the finals on that side. And of course, for the Bucks and Coach Budenholzer, I mean, he was gone if they didn't really make it this far, Budenholzer. And instead, he's shown some resilience and some fight and gotten his team here. So
could he still be gone, by the way?
Would you know? He?
Could
he?
Yeah. No,
no you think I think he's safe now. Yeah? I think he's safe now because let's say they get swept. Let's say. Worst case scenario for the Bucks. The built-in excuse already is there that Giannis is potentially going to miss at least a couple of games here. But even still, I think Budenholzer has done enough to show that he was able to get his team back from where they were after game two against Brooklyn. Yeah. I think that was like... And they nearly lost that game. Remember game three? That was that 86-83 game, I think it was there, where the Nets led with a minute to go on that Kevin Durant three. So... Budenholzer has doesn't read Twitter. There's no doubt about it, because if he did, he would have just walked away. But they are both very deserving finalists. And people can point at injuries. And yes, they've both had to face teams with other injuries. They've had their own. But that doesn't mean anything to me. It's like you still have to win the games. And that's what they've done. So I'm as excited as I've ever been for finals. I think it's going to be great.
That's good to hear that, Lee. We'll be talking about the games every day here on the show. So I'm excited you're excited.
Here's a quick X factor for you. Are the Bucks ever going to make three-pointers in the playoffs? I feel like we've been talking about it every round. There's a 23-point game coming. They're shooting 31% from three so far in this playoffs. They're shooting open shots. They got a lot of open shots against the Hawks that were brick fests. But this is a team that shot nearly 39% from three during the regular season. And that's why you see those stats where if Bobby Portis scores 11 points, the Bucks are looking nice. Probably because he made some threes. That's a huge place where he can have an impact on the game. So that's still an X factor to me. At some point, we're going to see a good shooting game from the Milwaukee Bucks, and they're going to need it playing without Giannis if that's the case.
Well, Bryn Forbes, I mean, remember it was that...
That was like 90
game.
Years ago, it feels like. That's like most of their made threes this postseason.
Didn't he hit like five in about, a four-minute period there, I think, against the M. But he actually is probably an X-factor then in the series. I mean, maybe he's the sort of guy who does get hot for a quarter or two to give the Bucks a little bit of a push there, because they are certainly going to have extra shots. And Budenholzer has certainly tightened that rotation. He doesn't go too deep. And if guys like Bryn Forbes aren't producing, they get the hook pretty quickly. So there'll be an opportunity, and Budenholzer needs someone like him to step up, but he's got to produce as soon as he gets out there, because he takes some wild shots, but he can get hot. He's shown us he can get hot. It's more an anomaly than the regular right now, but that could happen in the finals. Who knows?
He's not out there for defense, that's for damn sure. You could exploit him on that end, but if he's hitting a couple threes, you're going to live with that. I'm sure he'll see some minutes on campaign and stuff like that. Tass, is there any other X factors you're watching for in this series? Who's going to have the better home crowd? Both solid. But who's, we're going to hear some. If Giannis plays, man, I can't wait to hear the free throw countdown again. Or up, I guess I should say.
As far as I'm concerned, it's the Milwaukee Bucks with the home crowd advantage. You're going to see a lot of Hulk Hogan shirt tears. I can't advise it enough. If you can watch the NBA Game Time app or through the NBA League Pass, you can see during the commercials, these Bucks fans, they chug beers. They bring signs. I mean, it's hard to turn away. It's hard to go to the fridge and go have a pee break, because I want to see the large people tear their shirts. I'm saying large people because every time it's somebody huge that knows that. So I always look for, is it a pre-tear or is it just a freshie? Because, sometimes there's good acting even in the Milwaukee crowd. They're like, oh, this isn't happening. But it's a pre-tear, and then they just rip it.
Wow.
It's a good time.
So you're telling me this is happening regularly for the most part.
It's a thing.
Wow.
It's a thing in Milwaukee. It's winning helps. So if they're getting popped, then I would still think it happens. Let's get this rally rip to get our team going. Yeah, it's happening, man.
Ziggy's a big Bucks fan. He says that a guy ripped like 8 shirts in one game. So maybe it's like every single commercial break, go to this guy, chug a beer, tear off his shirt. Is that an advantage for the Bucks? Maybe so. Only time will tell.
I think the Suns crowd is actually better than the Milwaukee Bucks crowd, too. I think they've been incredible in the postseason.
It's the outside. It's the outside for Milwaukee that they've got the advantage,
the
unfortunately. Deer District. The Deer District is bumping, but you're right. Inside, they're just tearing their shirts off. Meanwhile, in Phoenix, they're all just screaming their heads off. It's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah. Again, I am so excited that the NBA decided to move this thing up till Tuesday. I think that's a smart decision here. Now, maybe Bucks fans are like, what? Come on. We could have used those days to get Giannis rested up. I get that. It'd be a little tough to swallow that, but I mean, for the average or the casual fan, like you want to roll with the momentum too. Yeah. And if we're saying like, some people are saying, oh, Bucks, Suns, like, well, the last thing you want to do is like wait a whole week and have like nothing sort of happening. So I'm excited that this tips tomorrow night.
Yeah, I think it was Warriors Cavs like maybe the last time. I think it was like a 10-day wait.
Oh my God.
Because the Warriors swept and the Cavs won in five. And they just couldn't move it up. And it was like, man, this is a disaster because you just want to keep the games playing while people are still following the NBA. But it's good.
Those are our best shows, though. Those are our best shows. We had 10 days off. What were we doing? Playoff awards.
Yeah. Had to get creative. I'm sure we did a pick'em payoff in there somewhere. Anything to chew up some time. But yeah, that's too long. Like we thought we were like, oh, what are we going to do this whole week here? But doesn't matter. We're right into it. So let's start making predictions on this. Again, Stream Team, you guys are doing it a little bit earlier. Drop them again if you want. Tass, you go first. Who are you taking? I know the Giannis part is a huge question mark, but what's your gut say?
This may be a little bit of a recency biased pick. Fact that we saw the Milwaukee Bucks most recently, the Suns with their time off, but watching Middleton, Drew, and Brooke play at this level is a huge factor in my brain right now. I think all those group of guys, even though the Suns kicked ass through their first three rounds, I feel like if the Bucks can continue to play at somewhat of that close level with Giannis in there, I think he goes in game one. Even if he is a bit of a decoy out there, I'm rolling with this Bucks team to be able to continue on throughout these first few games. I think this is the best team that the Suns will have faced in the postseason. I know that goes without saying, but a lot of people thought that the Western Conference team would be good enough to smash an Eastern Conference team. I think the Bucks are playing their best ball, and that's really important to me. And I love the fact that we're seeing, a couple of the non-number one seeds, the non-big stories, big market teams here in the finals. And hopefully this is just a snowball effect the next few years. Maybe we give a crap, the casual fan cares more about the teams that don't have LA or New York in front of their names. So I'm rolling with it, man. I think they got the matchups. And I think, these all-stars playing at this all-star level, I don't know. I'm buying it. I think this helps the Bucks having this shorter break as well. The fact that they can go into this series, rolling from Saturday night. It's only a couple days off. I think that helps them. So I think they get off to a good start in this series.
So you're saying Bucks in?
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. I'm going Bucks in six. Give it to me, Brandon Jennings.
There you go. And who do you got taking finals MVP? Let's throw those predictions in there, too. Well, I mean, you're either going... Well, I guess you got really three options, probably, with the Bucks.
Yeah. I'll go Chris, I guess. I think Chris Middleton is the guy who's going to score the most. But, that's kind of dumb, too. I'll change that later on in the series.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine.
It's hard to pick Giannis right now, but I think Giannis comes back. And even though he's not going to be 100%, I think watching him through games... 5 and 6 on the bench, the limp was lessened. The limp was less pronounced through game 5 and game 6. You got to watch this game time, this NBA app feed, man. They've got a camera on Giannis's knee. No, I'm kidding. They don't. But
well, if it wins the fan vote, I think you can get one on him for the whole game.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Maybe they split it. Maybe we get one of those, or you can't do that, right?
No, we're not splitting. Oh, maybe
you can. I think
MVP.
You can. I think you can, if the votes are...
Even though they have an odd number of voters, you can just have one go to Drew Holiday and the other guy.
Oh,
the other
God, I guess you're right. Technically, you could. Yeah. So if that doesn't happen. All right. So Bucks in six is what we're really getting at there, though. Trey, go to you next. Who you got winning the NBA Finals? How many games?
I'm catching major Dirk Nowitzki vibes from this Suns team and Chris Paul. And then I saw today on The Athletic that the 2011 Mavs odds of winning the title at the beginning of the playoffs was 18-1, the exact same as the Phoenix Suns at the beginning of this NBA playoffs. So I'm going to go Suns in six here. I'm a little more nervous about Giannis's injury than Tass is. I just think looking back at James Harden coming back in his first game, he didn't do much. Trae Young didn't do much in his first game back. And even if it's only one game for Giannis and then he improves from there, that's one out of seven NBA Finals games already in the toity. So I'm going Suns in six. I'm expecting it to be pretty tight. I think both games these teams played during the regular season, even though the personnel wasn't exactly the same. I think the Suns won both of those by one game. Both of these teams played good defense. Yeah. Both of these teams have good guards that should be able to match up with each other. Should be tight. Give me Suns in six.
Lee, where are you going?
Yeah, I think the Suns have home court advantage. They have rest advantage. They have health advantage. All those things, to me, really tilt this heavily towards the Phoenix Suns. And Giannis, you know, Trey mentions there, Trey Young and James Harden coming back. But also, go back 2 years, Kevin Durant, when he came back for the Golden State Warriors, and he clearly wasn't ready and obviously did much more significant damage to his Achilles tendon. He blew it out there. And that's my concern with Giannis, is like, I certainly wouldn't bring him back unless he was 100% healthy, because the risk that he does something even more serious, I think, is so significant. So I think in that sense, you know, the Bucks understand that even if they lose the first two games that are in Phoenix, it's not great, of course. But that's sort of also not a complete catastrophe. If Giannis can come back for game three and he's completely healthy, then maybe they've still got time to turn the series around. So I just think, but Phoenix have got, you know, they've been playing so well. They're confident. They're well coached. They're so deep. They've got everything in their favor. I mean, analytically, I'm saying Suns in five, but really I'm going Suns in six, because you just don't know what could happen as well with the Bucks. They've overcome some adversity themselves. And if Giannis was to come back and really be fantastic in games three and four, if it was that late, then they can still turn things around. But I'm ultimately going Suns in six, because I hope it goes at least six games. I hope we have a fun, close series. And I'm just going to take the low-hanging fruit. Chris Paul will be the finals MVP if the Suns win. Whether that's in five, six, or seven games, I think it's going to be his trophy. So I think the Suns win, but I don't think they... you know, I think it's still going to be a close series, but I just think all those advantages I listed earlier just help Phoenix more and give them enough of a bonus, if you like, to beat the Bucks here.
I'm going to go Suns in seven. I think a part of that is me definitely praying this goes seven as well. I think it's going to be a tight series. I'm going to go Devin Booker for finals MVP. You guys said it. He's going to be unleashed here in this series. It's going to be a lot different than that Clippers series, and we know he's a bucket, so... It's tough to imagine the Suns winning, I will say, like you said, Lee, and Chris Paul not getting it, just from a narrative standpoint. Like, even if he averages, I don't know, like 15 and 10, I feel like there'd still be like a lot of support for a finals MVP for him. So almost like a legacy play in a weird little thing. But if Booker goes nuts and does what I think some people are expecting Chris Middleton to do, there's going to be some 30-point Booker games I'm getting at here in these finals. So I'll go Booker. I'll go with my guy. And I got the Suns winning in seven, but I think this is going to be super close. I think Giannis plays tomorrow night. I do. I'm with you, Tass. Watching him there in the arena with my own eyes. Like, okay, he's like I don't think he's going to be 100%, but still, Giannis at 80% is better than 99% of the rest of the league. So he's still going to deliver, I assume, when he's out there. So I'll go Suns in seven. It's pretty split, I'll say, in the stream team. A lot of people picking Bucks in six. A lot of people saying Suns in five and six and stuff like that. So it should be very, very close. Anything you guys want to add?
Get your votes in on the No Dunks YouTube page. We got a poll up right now. Leading 48% of fans have said Suns will win this in six or seven. 15% Suns in four or five. 32 Bucks in six or seven. And 4% only think it's going to be Bucks in four or five, sure, which I think is a smart bet there.
Who's the first guy to get a tech or a flagrant foul? Like to go overboard, to snap a little bit. Crowder,
PJ Tucker are going to get a double T, I think.
Yeah, okay, that's good.
Yeah,
that's
a couple
good.
Of bulldogs going at it there. You know, they respect each other's game. There'll be a good butt slap afterwards, but they'll also get into it with each other.
Did you say bat slap?
I think I did. I did say that. I'm just thinking they're going to wrestle over a loose ball.
Yeah,
it's going to be one of those situations where they're fighting over it like that. The refs come in, right, double T's, and then they just say, yeah, man. Yeah.
Respect.
Yeah.
Let me slap your ass.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Let's hear from all of you again with your finals predictions. Respect. Who you got winning finals MVP, how many games and all that stuff. And who gets their butt slapped first? Make sure you let us know that in the comments below this video as well. Okay. We got a little Is This News, but we got to take a quick break. Hear from a sponsor.
If only starting your fitness journey was as easy as starting this podcast. That would make me so happy. The truth is, all the lift big, get big, and beach body ready in 3 weeks pressure, stops most of us from even starting. And starting is what matters most. It's everything, really. It really is. Wherever you're beginning and wherever you want to be, Peloton encourages you to just start. With thousands of classes to get you moving and doing what you can, if that's a 10-minute low-impact class, they got those. And when you're ready, take it up a gear, you know, a 30-minute live DJ ride. DJ John Michael, that guy plays the hits. He always gets me going. Start with Peloton and find instructors that will keep you motivated to stay on your fitness journey. Learn the basics and build from there. Remember, doing something is everything. Get started with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Back with No Dunks. Time for a little Is This News. Yeah, just a couple headlines here for the boys and everybody on the stream team. Debate whether or not they're newsworthy. First one, NBC Sports. Kings lack 76ers reported desired Ben Simmons trade assets. Tass, Simmons trade rumor, Is This News?
Well, I got excited when I first read about this, or I first saw the headline, I should say, because I named Buddy Hield as a guy who just needs a new venue, new place to play, new change of scenery this offseason. I want him to go somewhere. So I thought, oh, he could be part of this package that goes to Philadelphia. But then getting into the article written by James Hamm, it's totally true. There's just not enough coming back to the Philadelphia 76ers. Buddy Hield's really great. Theoretically pair really well with Joel Embiid, shooting over 10 threes a game. He's in his prime, but it's kind of like a Seth Curry replacement without the ball handling of Ben Simmons. That's a problem. And then you get Marvin Bagley, I guess, would be the second part of this trade. Mm-hmm. It works in the trade machine, Hield and Bagley for Ben Simmons. But Bagley, even if he's in that 2018 draft class and you have high hopes for him, just like, you know, the guys around him and Ayton, Luka, and Trey, you know, performing well this postseason, he just eats at Joel Embiid's space. We saw what happened with Al Horford. We just saw what happened with Ben Simmons. You don't want him running around the same area as Joel Embiid. He's just not, that level of player where, he can adapt at this point of his career. So I agree. They don't have enough. I think Buddy Hield should move on. But when you look up and down that roster, who else can you pair? You pair Harrison Barnes with somebody? I mean, it's not enough to get Ben Simmons off that team. You'd be better off keeping. You'd be better off keeping him if you're the Sixers. And the Kings are not trading De'Aaron Fox. They're not trading Tyrese Halliburton. Other than that, not enough for Ben Simmons. IMO.
Yeah, right. That's the problem, is that the two players that the Sixers would really want would fit really next to Joel Embiid, are the two players that the Kings no chance would be trading, which is kind of what it feels like the Sixers are going to run into a little bit here, because there's also in this piece a report that the Sixers turned down a deal for Malcolm Brogdon and a first-round pick from the Pacers. And to me, that's kind of exactly what the Sixers would need. Like, Brogdon would be an excellent fit next to Embiid, I think. He would bring the defense. He can play without the ball. He can handle and pick and roll. But Malcolm Brogdon and a first-round pick for a guy who was a number one draft pick, an all-NBA defensive player first team the last two seasons, and a third-team all-NBA guard in Ben Simmons, that's not enough. So it feels like Ben Simmons has played his last game as a Sixer, but I don't know. They might run him back out there, try and rehabilitate that trade value a little bit next season, just because Ben Simmons, like, he's awesome in the regular season. He's still a really good player. It's just everybody, it's impossible to ignore his flaws when they come up in the postseason. Not the best time to be trying to trade him.
I think teams are trying to lowball the Sixers a little bit and just see mm-hmm. how frustrated and annoyed they were with his playoff performance. And because I think Brogdon is not a bad fit there, but surely Simmons is worth more than that and whatever that 13th pick is. And if you are the Sacramento Kings, obviously they're not going to do Fox and Tyrese Halliburton. But if you're the Sixers, do you try to maybe throw one of those guys in and say, we'll take Buddy Hield and maybe Tyrese? That's interesting. Yeah,
I think if
the Kings are serious, you're like, listen, you're getting Ben Simmons all defense. You know, he's another ball handler there. I just wonder if there's something there. But I also wonder if the Sixers are like just sort of making these offers out there to say, like, guys, you can't lowball us, okay? We're expecting much more in return if you want to trade for Ben Simmons. So these are the ones we're just dismissing right now. But there's certainly a lot of interest from teams. But I think teams are just sort of seeing the Sixers and just like, I think Ben Simmons can be had for a little bit cheaper than perhaps, you know, during the regular season if he's been playing well. But I think the Sixers should move on anyway. So
yeah, I still think he will be traded. I don't think it'll be this. It's not going to be to Sacramento because I'm with you guys. Like Harrison Barnes, Bagley in the number 9 pick, or Buddy Hield, Bagley in the number 9 pick. That's too low even for Ben Simmons, whose trade value is sort of near the floor.
That's
right
a bag
now.
Of beans with the bag of beans thrown in.
Yeah, that's right. I still think it's going to happen with Minnesota. Obviously, was saying that sort of from the jump when it came to Ben Simmons trade rumors. I think there's something there with a D'Angelo Russell and even a Beasley going to Philadelphia and probably some picks for Ben Simmons, whatever else it takes to make it happen, be it George Hill. I like the concept of Ben Simmons in Minnesota with Karl-Anthony Towns too. But maybe that's still not enough. If they're not interested in Brogdon, the Sixers, you know, are they then that interested in D'Angelo Russell? Probably not.
Yeah, I mean, I'd take Brogdon over Russell, I think.
Yeah, you would think so. You would think so. But again, these are all just reports, and they're trying to drive up the the price from these other teams. And suddenly the Blazers are like, oh, well, okay, here's McCollum and so-and-so, or here's whatever. So we will see. All right, our next headline hurts my heart. But congratulations to these four countries. NBA.com coming through with Slovenia, Germany, Italy, and the Czech Republic securing the final four Olympic spots. And I say it hurts my heart because on Saturday, oh boy, Team Canada losing to the Czech Republic. Tough loss. Got their asses outplayed. Like, got outplayed. Made a crazy comeback. Like, an insane comeback. They were down 6 with, like, 20 seconds to go at the end of regulation, and then Andrew Wiggins just went nuts. There was crazy steal and all this, but in the end, Satoransky hitting a fading off-the-glass jumper over Dort, of all people, one of the best defensive players probably in the game. And he got it to go. You know, a little luck involved, no doubt, but it drops. And then Trey Lyles had a chance at a baseline jumper. Beautiful play call from Nick Nurse. And it rims in and out. And Team Canada loses. And Czech Republic goes on to beat Greece, Tass. So,
yeah.
You know, they played their way there, obviously, and surprised a lot of people. A lot of these teams, Germany surprising a lot of people. So, in the end, Luka's there, which is great. They're pumped. But these other teams were a bit of a shock to some people.
Yeah, and Luka Doncic got the MVP award in his tournament from Arvydas Sabonis, from the original, nice. Handed it out. And that must have hurt his son, Domantas Sabonis, who just lost.
Yeah.
And I guess they had this planned. Arvydas was going to give it to anybody. But then after Lithuania lost, I mean, this must have been really difficult for Domas to watch this happen. But it's exciting we're going to see Luka. I am still going to be watching every minute of the Olympics, even though it's lacking both Greeks and Canadians in basketball. Yep. Maybe I'll tune into Jan Schulman's call on the Canadian broadcast because I always love me some Dan Schulman, dating back to the Jays days. It's unfortunate.
It was a brutal loss.
Both losses. I think I would rather, Greece beat Turkey on Saturday to get to the final, to get romped by the Czech Republic. Man, they're playing some good team ball. I think I would have rather just lost in the semifinals and got it over with.
Well, yeah, it freed up my Sunday. That was nice. I didn't have to watch Canada play because this was it was a frustrating watch. They got They got outplayed for like, well, it's a 40-minute game there in FIBA rules, but for like a good 37 minutes, they were outplayed, and then again, they rallied to get it into overtime. Trey, I want to know, did you have a good Saturday yourself? Because Trey Lyles misses an awesome look again at the buzzer in overtime to tie it up or send it to double overtime. It rimmed in and out. You know, it was a great play, like I said, and he missed it. Then Ice Trey down at the Fortress, I watched in person. You know, he struggled mainly because of the injury and didn't have a great game six in losing to the Bucks. Did you have a good Saturday at least? Because all these other Treys I know were not. I think you were moving. So how did that go?
I was moving. Luckily for us, they did finish the painting on Saturday. I had an average Saturday. I wouldn't say I had a great Saturday. I was feeling sad for you, Skeets. I know how excited you were for Team Canada to maybe actually make the Olympics with you being an adult for the first time. That would have been very cool for you. But obviously, Nick Nurse just can't beat Thomas Satoransky. 4-0 this year against Nick Nurse.
Nice. I mean, if you just go watch the shot he hits too over to
what a shot.
Ridiculous.
What a shot. That's one of the ones where you're like playing on a Wednesday. You're like, well, at least we got another game coming up. If that's going to be the winner here.
Yeah.
Wiggins, correct me. I can't remember if it was off a missed free throw or they stole the inbounds, wasn't
it?
That's right. Yeah, they stole it. And then he fired up that one contested three, knocked it in. It sort of felt maybe Wiggins is just going to become the Canadian hero. But, man, that one then from Satoransky just to get it down. Because the Team Canada were leading in overtime too, weren't they?
Yeah, they were up four. I think they scored the first two. Four or five. And then didn't score the rest of the way out,
Oh, man.
And people were upset that it wasn't going through Wiggins actually enough, who had caught fire at the end of regulation, scored once in overtime, but they were like, they were not definitely like feeding him the ball and maybe should have because he was on and he was like, just roll with your best guy in that particular game. But whatever. Again, Czech Republic outplayed him. They didn't even deserve to be in overtime, for being honest. Tough loss. And that sucks, man, for this, obviously for the program. That's, you know, I talked about them wanting like to get there, and that does instill some confidence in the program and get some of these other guys to want to play maybe. The future still looks bright for Team Canada, but they, you know, you add Jamal Murray, you add Shea Gilgeous, you add Dylan Brooks. Like, they're all fairly young, too, to some of these other guys that played. RJ played pretty well in this little mini tournament. Wiggins actually played great. But still, they could have used, some bigs, actually, Trey. Mm-hmm. Like, Kem Birch or Kelly Olynyk, and those were, like, contract reasons that they weren't playing. So, anyway, sucks.
Is this the most down you've been about Team Canada? Because to me, I mean, looking from the outside, it feels a little bit like Team USA 2004, where you're like, the future looks bright. We've got a ton of talent. But they never play together and they don't seem to fit perfectly.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm down because they should have won this little mini tournament to get in. Yeah. I mean, they should beat the Czech Republic. Mm-hmm. They should. They have 8 NBA players on their roster. Yeah, they're missing some big names still, but they couldn't hit a three to save their life, and they got killed inside because they didn't have a lot of size. I forget that guy's name on the Czech Republic. He destroyed him. He had like 31 points, this guy, because he's a big dude. And they wisely ran their stuff through him. But anywho, it opened up my Sunday. That was nice, Tassie, right? If you're going to lose in the semis. That's the lesson learned. Okay.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
Oh, Tweet of the Night. That's a fun one from Kofi. At Kofi on Twitter. This one was making the rounds. Very, very funny tweet. AAU basketball was wild, man. You could beat a team by 10, eat Wendy's, and be matched up with future NBA superstars 45 minutes later and leave the tournament questioning if you love basketball. A great tweet. Kofi is an awesome Twitch follow, by the way. Watch him game and stuff like that and does like some fun like trivia questions and stuff. The responses, Lee, were hilarious. Like, the thread is great because people are basically just sharing their AAU basketball stories of like, oh yeah, this time, you know, we just got hammered by this future NBA player. This one from at Chad Bro, I saw, we thought we were cute until the 2003 Atlanta Celtics rolled up with Dwight Howard and Josh Smith. They mercy ruled us by breaking the rim clean off the backboard. I ain't been right since. I like that one. I like this one from at A. Hoffner. My AAU team played the Southern California All-Stars with Kevin Love and Brandon Jennings. Jennings dribbled through the legs on 7 out of the 10 guys on our team, and Kevin Love drop-stepped me so hard I went flying 8 feet out of bounds. Anyway, wow. There's like a million of these like responses. And Trey, did you ever, like, you know, we're Canadian and Australians. We're obviously playing here in the States and AAU basketball by any means. But did you ever like something similar in Illinois where you're like, you ran into a juggernaut of a team or a player even?
Sean Livingston is the best guy I played against in high school. He was a freshman when we were a senior. And, I mean, Sean Livingston was a lottery pick by the time he was a senior in high school. And he just destroyed us. I wouldn't say he was the best athlete I ever played against, though. There was a guy from another local high school who ended up playing free safety in the NFL for 10 years. His name was Sean Considine.
Okay.
He was incredible. I mean, he was an NFL-level athlete playing against me.
Boys.
Yeah, exactly right. And then the best guy in the state my senior year of high school was an incredible name, Pierre Pierce. Wow. He was like, I think he averaged 40 a game through the state high school tournament. He was a local guy. We ended up having to play him in a summer tournament once, and he just embarrassed us. The guy was like, he ended up playing at University of Iowa, I think, where he was like 25 a game, and it was just insane. The nonchalantness with which he was able to destroy a bunch of farmers out here. Hilarious stuff. I ended up playing him in like another men's league like 10 years down the line. He had just come off of leading the Golden State Warriors summer league team in scoring for a summer. Man had like massive off-court problems, like never made it to the NBA because of that, but he was a bucket every single time I happened to be in the gym with him, destroying us. And that's when you like, when you see the levels of basketball out there, because Kofi's right, like going to a day-long tournament is awesome because you'll have a great game and then you'll just eat fast food for a couple hours and then you'll go get destroyed and then you drive home with your buddies. I'm still pissed at Misael Vales for dropping my $20 bill outside of the car while we're on the freeway. Come on, man. $20 in high school? What are you doing? I was going to buy some chicken fingers with Ronnie Stickney at A&W Root Beer, but nothing. You think we're going to turn around for $20? Come on, buddy. Oh, fun times. Like, you go and drive 2 hours to play for 2 hours, sit for 2 hours, play for another 2 hours, and then drive 2 hours back home.
Oh, so weird.
Fun times.
Yeah, and then usually play a team where I don't remember their names, but I just remember the level like jumped up another notch. Like, we're obviously in Stratford, Ontario. We're playing all the other high schools. We're fine. We're decent. We go to this tournament for the weekend, and you know, we hung in a couple games. I'm not sure if we even won, but we were in them. And then, yeah, we got matched up against this juggernaut team that had they had twin brothers. It was like Brooke and Robin Lopez, two giant twin brothers that were then just dunking on everyone. Like that wasn't happening in our league. Like, guys were not getting dunked on. Like, they dunked on us like 20 times in the game.
Yeah.
And it's just, what the hell is going on here? So that's why this tweet resonated with me. But Lee, anything similar there in Australia?
Yeah, well, we used to play in weekend tournaments like that. I guess we did it when we were kids, but then when we were like young adults as 18-year-olds, we would also enter tournaments, and you would just do the same thing, go for the weekend, have a boozy Friday and Saturday night and play like five games. And there was one time we were playing, and the Melbourne Tigers, who played in the NBL, that's Andrew Gaze's team, they had a team they entered, but it was like their sort of younger up-and-coming players who they wanted to play against, you know, men. And I remember this 16-year-old kid, the game was a minute in, and the shot went up, and I was sort of boxing out, and I turned around, and all of a sudden I just felt like his legs and his feet on my head. This kid just dunked on me like that. And I was just like, oh my God. And we just got completely destroyed by this team. But that same guy who dunked on me, as I was dribbling up the court at one point, he was putting pressure on me, and I bounced it under his legs and went and got it. And he was furious because I humiliated him, even though they were beating us by about 65 points at that point. So I got mine little back on him.
But I think as well in that tournament, that was the thing, there was the one team that was just so much better than everyone else. I think we actually played them again in the final because we beat all the other teams. But then, you know, the final was like 146 to like 20 or something like that. I mean, we just got just destroyed. So, but they were always fun. The tournaments were great fun when you were kids and stuff. I mean, I don't think we ever won one, though. I would have loved to have gotten at least just one trophy. But there's always one team better than you. It just sucked.
Well, go seek out this tweet again from Kofi just to read the thread because like, or the responses. There's so many that just are great stories and people just dropping, like, again, future NBA players and, like, imagine having to play them when you're like 16, 17, 18, or whatever age you are. Oh my God. So, so good. All right. We'll call it there. We'll be back tomorrow. Obviously no game on tonight. That's okay. I'm sure we'll have some more news and we'll make some game one predictions on tomorrow's show, but get your questions in, keep them coming. NoDunks@theAthletic.com. Help us out. Might need to, answer a few questions on tomorrow's show. So send those in and make sure you subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube and get an Athletic subscription too. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks if you haven't already. There's a great, I believe there's like a July 4th sort of Independence Day deal going on, or maybe it was already over. I'm never sure with these. So anyway, it's cheap regardless. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks. Get yourself an Athletic subscription. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us, and just going to answer this question before we go from Kiki and the stream team. Is Anthony Bettett on Team Canada? Yep. He was. Yeah. Nobody, including Anthony Bettett, could help the team get a W, though. So sad. Just so sad. Look at all that talent.
Talent. It's all right. They're all young. You just wait until, Paris? Where are we going next? Paris? 2024. Paris. Yeah. Oh, it'll be worth it. Hopefully. Embrace the day, people.